Grace and peace to you through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our sermon text is drawn from the book of Revelation. We read there in the 19th chapter, verses 1 to 9. After this I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for His judgments are true and just. For He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of His servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dearly beloved of God, today is the, as mentioned, the third Sunday of end time. It's one of those Sundays as the clock of the church year clicks down to its close. We Christ believers give our attention to what Scripture teaches us about the last things. Last Sunday, we considered what the Bible teaches about Jesus' sudden and unexpected return to render judgment upon the living and the dead, which will be, as we noted last week, day of deepest regret and unimaginable terror for the unbelievers, but one of supreme joy and highest delight for all who have anchored their hopes in Christ, who have remained spiritually alert through faith in Him. Today we want to turn our attention to more of what the Bible teaches about that all-important future day, and specifically to the celebratory nature of that day for God's saints. This third Sunday of end time is also given that name, Saints Triumphant. And so let us then dig into what the Bible teaches, what the Lord reveals in this Revelation text to His servant John, which He had him record for us here under the theme, Victory. Victory's coming for all the saints. Now, the book of Revelation, that is a book which the Lord reveals among many things. One thing is that, kind of a sad thing, during the time between Jesus' first coming at Christmas and His second coming at the end of the age, His church will not have an easy go of it. The enemies of the church will be many and powerful. Those who love not the Lord Jesus will wreak havoc upon His people. They will ridicule Christians. They will persecute them. They will distort and falsify His word, mixing into it their own ideas or rejecting it altogether. And they will, sadly, succeed in leading many souls astray by their reckless lies. But notice now the graphic way that Jesus describes these enemies of the Lord's church here in our text. He calls them, in verse 2, the great prostitute who has corrupted the earth with her immorality. When people turn their hearts away from the Lord to humanly contrived teachings, when they give first place, the place of supremacy in their hearts, to anything or anyone else but their heavenly bridegroom, their heavenly husband, they are, and that's described in the Bible in a lot of different places, they're committing the sin of spiritual fornication against their God, who has shown nothing towards them except faithfulness and love in Christ. But in this section of Revelation, the Lord is reminding us, as in many other places in His Word, that the time during which the great prostitute will be allowed to corrupt the earth by her spiritual adultery against God will have a terminus. The day's going to arrive when she will be judged, condemned, removed from the scene, and suffer a humiliating and devastating defeat. And then also her ridiculing of the church, her persecuting of Christians, in some cases, many cases even putting them to death, will be halted. John says at the end of verse 2, the Lord is going to avenge on her, that's again against God's enemies, the blood of His servants. So people like Stephen, he was the very first martyr of the church, read about in the book of Acts. People like Henry Vose and Johann Esch, whom we talked about in Bible class. They were the first two Lutheran martyrs who were burned at the stake for their commitment to the gospel in the days of Luther in 1523. That happened in Belgium. And all those today who are suffering for Jesus, as in our overseas missions, if you read those prayer lists that we've been sharing, where one wife, I think it's in Myanmar, of the pastor there was put in jail for a couple weeks, recently released, and her husband was also accosted. All those today who suffer for Jesus, the Lord's going to see to it that the suffering afflicted upon them will be avenged. And when it happens, when the church's enemies are once and for all put down, as we read here in our text, it will be recognized as something perfectly just and right. The church's enemies will get what they deserve. His judgments are true and just. It's also in verse 2. And also notice how the Lord pictures the utter devastation that's going to befall the great prostitute. How He describes it here when He says the smoke from her goes up forever. In other words, no longer ever shall she, this great prostitute, the enemies of God and His people, be able to hurt God's saints anymore. Her destruction will be permanent. But for the saints, it'll be something very different. It'll be a stunning victory. It will be for Christ believers uncontainable joy. And all who during their lifetimes on earth may have wondered, perhaps you've wondered it, when we see the wicked prospering, living comfortable lives, becoming mighty in power, painting Christians as foolish, even as being harmful to society, on that great reckoning day, and the scales are balanced, when unbelievers are tormented and believers comforted. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, rich man in hell suffering terribly, Lazarus up in heaven enjoying himself with God and with Abraham. Then the saints are going to recognize how truly blessed they have been, that what God ordains is always good, since we will then no longer be walking by faith, but by sight. So how many will be participants in this glorious victory celebration? Lord reveals that also in our text, that this celebration will be massive. In the vision the Lord granted John, we're told, verse 1, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude. And again, verse 6, I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. Thousands upon thousands of saints will all join in. All Old Testament believers like Noah and Abraham, Eve and Esther, Job and Isaiah, New Testament believers like Peter and Paul, Luke and Lydia, the believing thief on the cross, all your dear ones who have fallen asleep in Christ, countless millions will participate in the festive celebrating before the Lord. So God also depicts for us in that feature in the John's vision where he says here, the 24 elders worshiped God who was seated on the throne. He also talks about the four living creatures. Very likely that refers to the multitude of heavenly angels. The 24 elders is quite clear what that means. It refers, it's picture language, again, for all the saints. The number 12 in the Bible is the number for the church. Symbolic for Christians. So all, again, all the saints of the Old Testament, all the saints of the New Testament will not be limited to a paltry 144,000, as some religious cults falsely claim, based on a distortion of a passage in Revelation earlier in chapter 14, where we read in another vision of John, I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion in heaven stood the Lamb, Christ, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. You know what it means when you write something on a book? It's yours, so that's a picture language for you belong to the Lord. And 144,000 souls, again, that's picture language. The number 12 times 12, if you know arithmetic, is 144, and the number 10 in the Bible is the number for completeness. It's used three times, so 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10 is 144,000. Picture language for all saints will be present and accounted for of Old Testament and New Testament times. It's going to be a massive celebration. What's going to be the centerpiece of our celebrating? Notice a word repeated in our text four times. Perhaps you noticed when I read the text for you earlier. Back to verse 1 again. I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah. Verse 3, once more they cried out, Hallelujah. And then those 24 elders, again, all believers, fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And then in verse 6, I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude crying out, Hallelujah. And so we will be singing in heaven, singing to the Lord our loud and happy hallelujahs. What does the word hallelujah mean? Sing it a lot. We use it in our liturgy, sang it already a few times this morning in the liturgy and in the hymns. That means praise you, Yah. Yah is short for Yahweh or Jehovah, the Lord. So it means praise you, the Lord. And we're in heaven, we will be worshiping him as the one worthy to be extolled and admired and adored and glorified for all that he in love accomplished for our salvation, which he made possible, as you know, by sending Jesus as the Savior, by bringing us to faith in him by the gospel, by using that same gospel to preserve us in faith throughout our life, and for making death for his saints the beautiful gateway into his very presence in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jehovah. Praise the Lord. By the way, as a side point, as some of you probably know, if you are a buff of classic Christian music, this is the very verse, along with one other in Revelation, upon which the German-British musical composer George Friedrich Handel based his famous piece, The Hallelujah Chorus, from the Messiah, an oratorio that Handel composed. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and evermore. So when you sing that in a hymn or in the worship liturgy, friends, be reminded of the Lord's love for his saints and of the massive victory celebration that you'll be part of later. In a closing thought, notice how the Lord pictures this victory celebration as a marriage feast, with Christ being our bridegroom and we his bride. He portrays us as his beloved wife, whom he has made ready, whom has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, pure and bright. That is a reflection of the central teaching of Scripture, salvation by grace alone. What makes us saints? Not our lives, not our saintliness, our goodness, but Jesus' holiness. What makes us eligible, not just eligible, but guaranteed participants of the victory celebration to come, is that Christ has dressed us with his saintliness by faith. Even considering all the works that we do for him as Christians, even though they're tainted still by our sinful weaknesses, as it says here, described as the righteous deeds of the saints, perfect in every way. Praise him for that as well. So as you journey through these latter days, friends, continue to petition the Lord to keep you watchful for your triumph day. Do not allow yourself to become unvigilant or to slip spiritually, or your hearts to grow drowsy because your bridegroom seems to be taking so long to arrive. Rather, let us keep alert for his coming, that we may sit finally then with him, with all of his saints, in the marriage feast in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.